The earliest members of Generation X would have been teenagers in the 1970s. This was a period in which pop culture was seeking and destroying every last taboo that it could find. Religion, specifically Christianity, was routinely mocked.
The Pope, discussing the existence of God with an out-and-out atheist, starts off very correctly, discussion. And as the hours go by, it gets more and more heated, and eventually the Pope turns to the man and he says, "The mom! Get the mom! And you, come here. You are like a man who is totally blindfolded in a dark room looking for a black cat that is not there." Father said, "With all respect, Your Holiness, I think there's great similarity between us both." He said, "What do you mean, similarity?" He said, "Well, as far as I'm concerned, you are like a man who is blindfolded in a totally dark room looking for a black cat that isn't there. The only difference is that you found it."
Men dressed in women's clothes and wore makeup. Gay themes penetrated song lyrics. Hedonism and debauchery seemed to be the order of the day. The individualism of the freak and the outsider were in, while the banal conformity of the 1950s was out. Only, of course, if everyone dresses up as a freak and an outsider, that makes those things the new banal conformity. But let's not worry about all that. By 1979, the more intellectual members of the older Gen X generation could try to fool themselves into believing that they were above all of that by listening to the likes of Pink Floyd. But then there came the war. Let's have a think about some of these lyrics. Now, there's a grain of something truly radical to this song, the idea that state school is a form of prison, forcing kids through a syllabus of ideological left-wing indoctrination. But unfortunately, this is de-emphasized for the merely psychological. Roger Waters settles for pathology. He's more worried about the possible psychological harm done to children who suffer the quote, dark sarcasm in the classroom. In other words, he's worried about how school might affect the ego and self-confidence of individuals rather than how it might be brainwashing them. And this incessant psychologizing is characteristic of what would become the Gen X mindset. It is rife, for example, in the movies of Tim Burton. In his hands, the Penguin is the victim of child abandonment, while Willy Wonka owns a chocolate factory because his father was an evil dentist who wouldn't let him eat chocolate. And lo, how all the mystery and charm is stripped out of the thing because it has been explained by this leaden logic. All of this is embodied in an icon of the later Gen X, Daria. Daria was very cynical and a deadpan snarker. In fact, there were many deadpan snarkers for Gen Xers like her to look up to. I'd say it was actively encouraged. Bill Murray, in every film, was a deadpan snarker.
"Yes, it's true. This man has no dick."
"Ned Ryerson?"
"Bing!"
"Bing!" "So did you turn pro with that belly button thing, Ned, or
no,
what?"
"No, Phil, I sell insurance."
"What a shock."
"Do you have life insurance? Because if you do, you could always use a little more. Am I right or am I right or am I right? Right, right, right.
Ned, I would love to stand here and talk with you, but I'm not going to.
Fraser was a deadpan snarker. Clarissa explained it all, was a deadpan snarker.
Time sure flies when you're having fun.
Blackadder was a deadpan snarker.
I'm Millionaire's Row. Hello, room 12 of the Budley Salterton Twilight Rest Home for the terminally short of cash.
Is it any wonder that the people who grew up watching all this snark then proudly declared that their favourite member of the Top Gear crew was James May, as if this made them unique or special in any way? Well, let me tell you, James May is supposed to be your favourite, and it doesn't make you unique or special. Anyway, back to Daria. As well as being a deadpan snarker, she was also, I'm afraid to say, a chronic midwit. What do I mean by that? Well, Daria had an explanation for everything, and that explanation was usually some form of COD psychologizing, as I've already discussed. Something as profound and wonderful and enduring as strong religious faith becomes, in Daria's hands, mere pathology. There's a psychological need for religion because the human mind cannot stand the vast chaos of space and physics, or it cannot come to terms with the great unknown, or something. Daria knows better, of course. Daria has no such psychological need. Will you never rest? Find a battle who could care less? Daria was able to take almost anything and explain it away like this. Any idea of coordinated action, for example, let's say a group of people planning some operation on a national or international level, well, that's simply a conspiracy theory. You see, people are incompetent and stupid, so such planning is simply beyond them. What is it that Daria loves to say? Let me quote, "Never attribute to malice that which is adequately explained by stupidity." As often as this line is quoted, it is much less frequently noted that it was originally submitted to a joke book. Why did something considered to be a joke become received wisdom by the 1990s? That's a question for you to answer. Anyway, by the 1990s, Generation X, in their wisdom and cynicism and lack of faith, became the most hedonistic and stupid generation ever to walk the earth.
She's a nasty hoe who slept with my man. I've been with him for the last 4 years. Ooh. And she just needs to lay back.
What does he say about her?
He says that he doesn't like her.
But when you said, then why did you said to him, why did you sleep with her?
Yeah, I asked.
And he says why? Why did he sleep?
He said old feelings came back.
Oh, he. But he tells you he loves you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's meet her. Here is Christy. Christy, welcome to the show. What do you want to say to Emmy?
Emmy, you need to back off. If he loved you.
So,
no, Bits, if you liked you, you'd have the ring on your finger, huh?
I have one, too.
Yeah.
So, wait. Wait a second.
Too bad that was the ring he was going to give me.
Yeah, that's why he was with me last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why he's been with me the last 2 weeks. Every single day.
But, yeah, he's been with me.
He tells me
he loves me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, why do either of you put up with him if he's sleeping with both of you? He was with you last night, you're saying?
Yeah.
And when was the last time he was with you?
2 nights ago.
Meanwhile, the television kept affirming the viewer at home that the opposite was the case. Shows such as MythBusters used science to confirm the fedora hat-wearing Gen X mitwit in their view of themselves as enlightened and above the silly superstitions of old. Shows such as QI seduced the Gen X midwit into believing that they had some special tidbit of information, some special insight above and beyond everyone else.
Tonight, any flamencos you give in Pyong score Barney, and I'll also give you two Sundays. It's Cockney rhyming slang. Any flamencos?
Flamenco
dancing answers in Pyongyang slang.
Score Barney.
Rubble. Double.
Yes.
I'll give you two Sunday roasts posts. Sunday joints points. If at any nickel and dime time, woman who does buzz.
Only, of course, everybody else watched QI too, so they had the same bit of information. The Gen X Daria sits luxuriating in her own ironic, detached, smug, self-satisfied midwittery. And she imagines this. She imagines this. She imagines this. But the truth is that Generation X was asleep at the wheel. Irony is debilitating and prevents faith, which is necessary for heroic will and action. Generation X has been weak and cowardly and indecisive, which is why boomers and millennials have walked all over them their whole lives. Snarky cynicism and a lack of faith are simply cowardice by another name. Major Boredom singing.